In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The Gospel of John has a very particular focus when it tells Jesus' story. John really wants us to know how Jesus, the Son of God, is also a friend and a servant to those whom he loves. Stories like the moment where Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." Stories like the one we hear today, the story of the Last Supper, where Jesus prefaces the meal that they are about to share by doing something that was an accepted practice of hospitality in the ancient world: washing guests' feet. They did that for a simple reason. They lived in a dusty and sandy place, and they wore sandals. If they were to gather around a table for a meal, one way to distinguish between a meal eaten on the run and one that was a more formal meal was to have this kind of foot washing. It was considered a refined thing to do to help a guest cool off and feel refreshed before a meal. But even considering that this was a normal act of hospitality in that time, the host of the meal would not do it himself. He would order his servants to do it, because it was beneath the host's dignity to crouch down and wash someone's feet. Feet were a dirty part of the body. Who knows what those sandaled feet had stepped in? Feet are sort of yucky. So it came as something of a shock to the disciples when Jesus took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his middle, and bent down to wash the feet of the disciples. He knelt first before Simon Peter, who was absolutely horrified. Simon Peter knew who Jesus was and knew what Jesus was: his teacher, his rabbi, his Lord, the Messiah. If it wasn't appropriate for the regular host of a meal to wash the feet of the guests, it most certainly wasn't appropriate for the Messiah to do it. So Peter protested. But Jesus said that this was a necessary thing, that Peter could not be a part of Jesus' world without this. And Peter, ever the one for big emotional gestures, said, "Don't just wash my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." But that was too much, that gesture. And Jesus said, "No, only your feet. The rest of you is clean." It was, in a way, a symbolic gesture, this washing, cleaning off the dust of the world in preparation for something very different, something very important: this final meal together. Although Peter may not have known that that was indeed the case. It was an act of loving service for them. To get a sense of what this might have felt like, I want you to stop for a minute and imagine your favorite president in your life. Everybody's got different ones. If you really don't like any of the ones that you have lived through, think of George Washington. But I want you to have a president in your mind that you really like, because I want you to imagine going to the White House for a dinner with the president. So you go through all the security clearance to get into the building, noting the snipers on the roof and the Secret Service officers with the little squirrely earpieces and that sort of thing. And you are going into this fabulous house where a wonderful meal is going to be served, and you will hear probably a little speech by this president whom you admire so much. You queue up, because of course there's a receiving line, And you wonder what you're going to say when you reach the president and his wife. And you hope you don't say anything stupid. Your feet hurt a little bit because you bought new shoes for the occasion. But it's worth it because you want to look good. The line is moving very slowly and you think, I wonder who is talking off the president's ear. Don't they move folks through these lines a little bit more quickly than this? But when you finally get through the door to the foyer where the president awaits, you can't see him. But then you do. He's on his knees. His dinner jacket is off. Wait, what's going on here? Can it be possible? He's washing the guests' feet. That's ridiculous. He's the president. He shouldn't be touching people's feet, washing them off, should he? It's a lovely gesture and all that, but he's the president. Presidents don't do that. And then you start thinking about your own feet and about the corn on your little left toe and the beginnings of a bunion, and you wonder, how could I possibly let him touch my beat-up old feet? He'll be disgusted by them. But he continues with the next person in line, gently washing the feet of an elderly Supreme Court justice. Those feet are a lot more gnarly than yours, you think. But there he is, gently toweling off the water. And then he's on to the next person, a woman who's struggling forward on crutches because one foot is in a cast. The president gently washes the exposed toes, and the woman giggles a little, and the president looks up and smiles. And now it is your turn, and you slip off those new shoes. You can feel and see the beginning of a blister on one toe. And the warm water he pours over your feet feels so lovely, so comforting. And then the soft towel dries your feet and you move on. You say nothing, but it's a tender moment, this 30 seconds or so, when this man whom you admire washes and dries your feet. And you suddenly don't feel shy or embarrassed anymore, just grateful. And in the moment, you don't feel shocked that the leader of the free world is on his knees with his jacket off in front of you. You simply feel appreciated, even loved. You feel like he knows you in a special way, having done this thing for you. You feel that he has served you in a caring way, and it changes the whole tone of the meal that is to follow. You're not merely supporters of this president, admirers of him. You are his friends. All because of feet. That may have been something of the feeling that Peter and the other disciples experienced when Jesus surprised them by kneeling before them and washing their feet. This was not the right thing to do. It was not his job. They should be washing his feet. But here he was, showing them his loving care, showing them in a way that mere words could not, that they were cherished by him, so much so that he was willing to debase himself by washing their feet. Their feet, for goodness sake. Because, as the gospel says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them enough to take off his tunic, wrap a towel around his waist, get a bowl and a pitcher of warm water, and get down on his knees to wash their dirty, dusty, camel dung spattered feet. In the days ahead of him, Jesus would choose to debase himself further, giving himself over to what was, for all intents and purposes, a monkey trial. The flogging, the crown of thorns, the nailing to the cross, the suffocating death. Washing feet was such a small thing in comparison of what was to come. But to the disciples, it was a shock and an intensely uncomfortable thing. On this Maundy Thursday, in many churches around the world, people reenact the foot washing. We did it this morning when the clergy gathered at St. Mark's for a renewal of ordination vows, and Bishop Ted washed our feet. And in many churches, people resist reenacting the foot washing because it makes them as uncomfortable as Simon Peter was. All the things you thought about in your little imaginary story about your own feet, everybody thinks those things. They fear what a foot washer will think of the state or the smell of their feet, as if it matters. They worry that they will giggle in the midst of this solemn ceremony because their feet are ticklish. I wonder which of the disciples had ticklish feet. There had to be at least one. Or do they think that they might catch germs from the water, from the towel? But I wonder what it would feel like to make ourselves vulnerable enough to accept such an act of love. I wonder if we can truly have our share of Jesus, if we worry more about what someone will think of our hammer toes or our chipped toenails than about how we can receive the gift of humble love from another. The disciples, even Simon Peter, got over their objections and received that loving gift from Jesus. Even Judas had his feet washed, which may account for his great grief when he finally came to himself and realized what he had done after his betrayal. Now, I am not suggesting, and here you may breathe a sigh of relief, that we will wash each other's feet right now. I would not do that without warning you first, so you could spiritually and physically prepare yourself for it. But what I hope that you will consider is how we so often refuse a gift of humble love from another rather than receive it gratefully. We in our culture so often think it is a sign of weakness without admitting that we are afraid to make ourselves so vulnerable in the course of such a tender act like having someone wash our feet. Jesus, of course, made himself vulnerable from the moment of his birth. He did not come to earth as a powerful divine force. He came as a fragile newborn. He did his work on earth as a human being, subject to the flu, and a cold, and indigestion, and stepping in camel dung. And in the end, his human body was broken in the most humiliating and painful ways man has devised to punish another. He chose to be vulnerable so he could love more deeply. And then he asked those who believed in him to make themselves equally vulnerable so that they too could love more deeply. And the first step to achieve that vulnerability was allowing him to wash their feet. Because unless you make yourself vulnerable in such a way, you can have no share of Jesus. So on this night, when we prepare for the next step to the cross, we pray that we can overcome our own fears and make ourselves open enough, vulnerable enough, and faithful enough to allow Jesus to care for us as only he could do. To acknowledge that his death was the gift that we may not have deserved, but that he gave freely, to accept that we are his beloveds, each of us. Each of us, hammer toes and smelly feet and bunions and chip pedicures and all. We are all beloved enough for him to serve us as we need him to serve us. Feet are a good starting place as we ready ourselves to walk to the cross. Amen.